Welcome, everyone. This is Kelly Hall with the Longview Chamber of Commerce. Today, we're here to talk about our Longview Reads program, sponsored by Barksdale Federal Credit Union. Thank you, Barksdale. So, Longview Reads was started to help our students master and meet, at a minimum, the third grade reading requirements, because we know if our students can read after third grade, the chances of them accelerating through their fifth grade math program exceeds exponentially and graduation rates go up. So we want to help make sure as a community that we're working together to build our future workforce by supporting Longview Reads, sponsored by the Longview Chamber of Commerce. All right. Today with us, we have a couple of guests from the Longview Library. And if you didn't know it, our library is a destination. And so we want to make sure that we give a fantastic plug to the City of Longview's Public Library. It's a beautiful facility off of Cotton. And I'm going to turn it over to our librarians to introduce themselves, tell a little bit about themselves, and then we're going to pour into how the library plays such an important role in helping our students succeed.
Thank you so much, Kelly. My name is Jennifer Eldridge. I am with the Longview Public Library, as you mentioned. I am the library manager at the Longview Public Library. I've been in that position for the past 8 years, and I've been with the Longview Public Library a total of 12 years. So it's a home to me. We really enjoy being there. We really love working there, and we really enjoy working with the community, especially the Chamber of Commerce. And so, yes, we are super passionate about reading, super passionate about making sure everyone develops a love of reading for all ages. Throughout their entire life, and we're passionate about getting those materials to everyone for free, regardless of socioeconomic status. It's really important to us to make sure everyone has equal access to reading and literature, and what they like to read, not just, you know, what they should read, but necessarily what they like to read as well. And then I'd love to introduce you to my tech services librarian.
Hi, my name is Leah Shreves, and I've been with the Longview Public Library for over 6 years now. I'm in charge of helping purchase all the content that you see at the libraries, our e-resources, physical materials, our computer lab, adult programming, a lot of stuff. Yeah. And but I really enjoy my job and getting to help people every day, anything from children's to adults on the computers, helping them find resources, borrowing resources from other libraries, because, you know, as a library, we'd like to have every single book, but space is a limitation. So sometimes we have to work with other libraries in order to get that material.
So we're going to come back because we are going to talk about ebooks. We will talk about the library share program that you have and how to get on the list to reserve books and things. So don't let me forget. I do want to talk about those things. Let's start with the summer programming, because our destination library in Longview is the source for families, truly is the source. And it doesn't matter, like you said, what socioeconomic background you come from. Every child needs to integrate themselves in some type of reading program. So would you guys please share, whether it's Jennifer or Leah, about your summer reading program that targets kids third grade and under?
So I'll go ahead and take this. For our summer reading club program, we target ages 17 to 0, and 0 being infants. And even it has been researched and studied that reading to children in the womb is very beneficial. It helps build the bond between mom and baby, or the person who is reading to the baby, and it helps developmentally with having that child come out of the womb interested in reading. So we do a summer reading club program to incentivize kids to read all through the summer. One thing that we try to avoid is what is called the summer slide, or some people call the summer slump, which is where kids are just now getting out of school. My daughter just got out of school last week, Pine Tree Pirate, and they go home, and a lot of times they're with their caregivers or their family, and they're watching TV, they're staying up late, they're video games. gaming. They're not keeping active in their daily reading goals or math goals, and they're kind of slumping back a grade level. So by the time they start the next grade, so my daughter's about to start fourth grade, she's sliding back to almost where she was at third grade or lower from not reading and staying, you know, active. So as a librarian, as a mother, that can't happen. So Emma has already gotten a selection of books at the library that she personally picked out that I made sure was within her reading level. That is something that you can do when you come to the library is, hey, I need some books for my third grader. I'm going into fourth grade. That's great. We would love to help you find those specific materials. And then as she reads those materials, starting on June 9th, that's when Summer Reading Club officially begins, she can come to the library and start getting prizes for all the books that she's been reading. And those prizes really vary based on interests. We talk to the kids a lot to get, you know, what are some things that you would be interested in seeing? Spoiler alert, a lot of it is candy. Some of it is toys. We found with teenagers, because it's important for teenagers to read. They're still taking standardized tests all the way to 10th grade. Full-size candy bars, that's fine. We'll buy full-size candy bars if that means you'll read a chapter book each week. So at the age of 0 to 5, we break it into 3 sections, 0 to 5, we ask parents to read picture books with those kids, 5 picture books a week. So something really easy, 32-page picture book can take you anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes to read. And so you can do, you know, two books a day for a few days, or 1 book a day. And then there's a couple of activities that we recommend on the back of the reading log that they can do. And those activities can include going and visiting the park, or going and visiting one of our local organizations that is really beneficial, such as visiting Longview WOW, and being active, doing things, finding things that they can, you know, participate. Or they can participate in any of our free programs. We have tons of free programs that we do every day in the summer, starting on June 6th, which is next Friday. We have a big kickoff party where we invite everyone to come down, party, celebrate with us on our Eastman Plaza, right in front of the library. We're gonna have Fun Foam, which is this foam machine that turns into big bubbles all over the plaza. We're gonna have free Kona ice. We're gonna have bounce houses. We're gonna have a DJ. So much fun. And it really just helps us celebrate in a very big way the start of Summer Reading Club for us. Because as all the schools get out, that is the time that libraries really shine. That's when we're at our busiest. And even right now, we have tons of kiddos coming in and getting books for the summer and starting to get a head start on their reading for Summer Reading Club. Once we get past the kickoff party, we do activities every day. And it's Monday through Saturday, basically, where we concentrate those activities. And those activities are designed to give families free options for things to do with their family in the summer. Because not everybody can afford summer vacation, or going out and doing a lot of things. We have a lot of grandparents that have to caretake for their kids, over their grandkids over the summer, and they're kind of like, help, what do we do? You know, we need things for these kids to do. They can't be cooped up all day. But it also helps get them in the library a couple of times a week, hopefully, to where they're getting more books and looking for more things to read and do. Those activities, we have kind of a basic outline of those activities to keep it easy. On Mondays, we do a sensory playtime where we use the senses to work with younger kids, hearing, touch, smell, all of those wonderful things. And then in the afternoon, we do video games with the kids. On Tuesdays, we do a story time, and I'm pretty proud of our story time. I think it's very theatrical and fun, and we do those. And then on Wednesdays, we usually have a performer come in from Dallas, Austin, all these different places. They're magicians. They usually bring animals. There's different people every week that help, you know, bring something really dynamic that feels really fun. Feels like an in-town field trip, if you will. So, and then Thursdays, we do a movie day. Fridays we do crafts and video board games. We do board traditional board games, and then on Saturdays we do Legos. So it's a lot of things, but we do the same thing each day so that it's easy for everybody to remember, that will go on for 6 whole weeks. Nice. And then we'll take a very nice long vacation.
I bet.
Yes.
So parents can go online to register, or they can go in the library. What does that look like?
So that's a great question, Kelly. Thank you so much for asking. There are two ways that you can register for Summer Reading Club. We used to do the traditional paper log. We still do. Lots of people really love to have a tangible paper log that the kids can stamp each week that they have gotten their prizes. But we've also added a online component several years ago, and that's become very popular as well. We have a subscription with Beanstack. Beanstack is a platform that is under the parent platform called Zubeen, and it was actually on Shark Tank. It is designed to help give recommendations for books for children based on their interests. So what we do at the library is a little bit more personal, but if you wanted to have an option to go online and say, hey, my kid loves dinosaurs, and my kid loves cars, and my kid loves Barbies, and things like that, they curate a specific design of reading lists based on their interests, and it's a pretty good, you know, solid list, and then they can go and search for those items, and they also talk about how old is your kid to make sure it's in their reading level as well, so you can make sure you're targeting those kids that are in the third grade or below to get them appropriate materials. I think that's the hardest thing sometimes, is parents don't know exactly what is age appropriate, and so that's one way to do it, or you can also talk to us at the library. We have several sections of the children's department designed to help kids that are in a specific reading area. Even kids that are, hey, I'm in third grade, but I'm not quite reading at the third grade level. We can help with that.
Okay, so let's say I'm going on vacation. I've got a mess of kids in the car. I don't want all the yelling and screaming. Leah, you mentioned you have ebooks.
We do. So we have two different platforms, Libby and Cloud Library. So we have anywhere from, you know, adult books to kids books, even some, you know, comics and graphic novels on those platforms. And the great thing about these is, say you're going somewhere, you don't have internet, you can download whatever you check out to your device. And that way, if you don't have access to internet, you can still read or listen to that audiobook. And the best thing, you don't have to worry about late fees. So once it's due, it'll automatically return it for you.
Oh.
All you have to do is have a library card with us.
Okay. So I go on vacation and I say I want to do group project. So I have CarPlay. How would I download? How would that work?
So both Cloud Library and Libby are compatible with Android and iPhone or Apple devices. Uh-huh. So you just go onto your store, whether it be Apple Store or Google Play Store, and download Cloud Library or Libby by OverDrive. Once you do that, it'll usually have you search for your library. So Longview Public Library, you select that, type in your library card number and password or PIN. And once you do that, it'll log you in, and then you'll be able to say you're doing an audiobook. I do this all the time on my long drive. So say you have an audiobook, you'll open that app, press play, and then from there, it's good to go. Sometimes, depending on your car or your device, like mine, as soon as, say, I was listening to an audiobook once I got to work and now I'm leaving, it'll automatically start playing that book once I get back in the car and start it.
Fun. So I can have devices for the kids, yep, individually. Mm-hmm. They can listen to their own books, or we can do it as a family,
yep,
and just go right on down the road.
Yes.
Well, that's exciting. So I'll have to remember that. I read a lot, so I have not used the library's ebook. I might could save some money. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about what volunteerism does or does not look like at the library, because I do think that's a myth out there. Unfortunately, our world has changed a lot. And I would hope, as a parent, a grandparent, that our library had some pretty defined rules about who could or who can't volunteer, or what can they volunteer for. So, Jennifer, could you share with me how that looks if I'm having my kids go to the library, who are they going to interact with?
Sure, absolutely. So predominantly, we have two sets of volunteers at the library, and we have a wonderful, robust volunteer program, but we do have several ways to vet and make sure that those volunteers are appropriate and serious about working at the library, because we take our job very seriously. I also like to really note that volunteer work at the library really does count towards actual work at a library. That was something my mentor bestowed on me years ago, is when you are working in a library, even at the volunteer level, that is applicable work experience. So that's very important and something we try to instill in our volunteers as well. So in the children's department, we actually have a wonderful teen internship program. And so that's where we have teens volunteering all throughout the year, but predominantly through the summer. We take up to 25 teen interns. It's a bit of a competitive program, and once we hit 25, we have to close it off. Those teens really help us with all of those activities I mentioned earlier, Monday through Saturday. Legos, they're helping us put out Legos for the kids. Video games, they're helping to play video games with the kids, all of those things. And it's a really great way for them to get the volunteer hours they need for things like National Honor Society or for the Merit Scholarship, all these really important things that they need to have to prove that they are ready for the college level and ready for the work experience too. We do an interview with them. We do really intense training with them, going through everything from the department and what all needs to be done organizational wise, and really just telling them how to handle, you know, things that can come up on a daily basis in the library, from little kids coming up and saying, hey, I need help finding books, to other little kids maybe not being as serious and making a bit of a mess. Sometimes that happens. I told them, actually, last week we did our teen orientation for summer last week. I said, there may be a time where you're organizing an entire row of books and a little friend might come over and try to clear that shelf. And don't get upset. Don't get upset at all. That's job security. Just make sure that they know that this is a place for them, and maybe redirect their attention to a coloring sheet so that they don't continue to clear books. So that's really important. I'll speak a little bit for Leah, and then I'll let her cover the rest. Leah is actually over our adult volunteer program. And for all adults that volunteer at the library, we have them fill out an application form, and they do have to do a background check through our HR department.
Oh, good.
There is only one exception to that. We have a wonderful partnership with Gregg County and Judge Stout, where sometimes they have some people that need to do some volunteer work. Those volunteers do come on a weekly basis, and those volunteers mainly interact with cleaning and helping us with sorting our donations. For some of our volunteers that are more trusted and have gone through the background check, they will interact more with patrons. For example, we have free computer classes that we offer on a monthly basis. Those computer classes are designed to help people who may not be as aware on how to use certain softwares or even computers in general. We have some classes that we offer on how to use a computer, because that is still the world that we live in, where people are still navigating that digital divide. And we do not judge. We're happy to help. And we have some very gifted former college professors and high school teachers that come back and teach those classes. And that is mainly volunteer led. But they are experts in that field. We do have a couple of staff that do classes, computer classes like Canva.
And Google Drive.
And Google Drive. Thank you very much. And so that's the only time volunteers are really going to interact with patrons, is either at the teen level, so a minor, or at the volunteer level that have gone through our background checks and clearance.
That's comforting. I'm glad to know that.
Yeah, all of our adult volunteers, like Jen said, they go through a background check. Once they pass and clear that, I then set up an informal interview with them and do kind of go over the policy, and like, because we have volunteer guidelines that they also have to follow. They sign that. I get an idea of what they want their schedule to kind of look like, where they want to volunteer, because they could do anything from learning how to cover books. They can sort donations, teach computer classes if that's something they're interested in. Also, you know, putting security tags in our books. There's various different jobs they can learn to do. Even helping with, like, if, say I'm running an adult program and I just need someone to help me put something together and break it back down afterwards, they can help with that. So all of our adult volunteers, they do go through a process, and then I supervise them. If they have any questions, they know to come with me, and I have like their contact information. They're really great about, we even have one really good one right now. We have a lot of good ones, but some of them that go through our donations, you know, they find stuff and they bring it to us like, hey, I found this. And, you know, that's a really good thing to have in a volunteer. But I'm really proud of our adult volunteer program because that's something I've been working hard to grow. And we're constantly getting more people interested in volunteering. And I find that if you are volunteering and doing something you're interested in, so I focus on those areas first, then, you know, they enjoy coming back. They come back weekly, and always a joy to see them come in, and they're kind of a part of the team.
One of the things that I like, and I'm trying to think about how to word this and not go around a mountain. So we ask our employers to engage with Longview Reads. We ask our employers to get their employees involved in Longview Reads. Well, sometimes when the kids are in school, you know, from 8 to 3, that's really not a prime time for an employee to engage and volunteer. Mm-hmm. But they want to make a difference in a child's life. So indirectly, an employer could say, hey, I'll tell you what, you know, because a lot of companies will do special programs, their own reward, incentive, you know, gung-ho type of situations. An employee could earn those volunteer hours by working at the library in the evening when you're open or on the weekends when you're open in these other areas, so that is giving back to the kids and making sure then the librarians and those trained to work with the kids have time to invest the way we want you all invested, and then being able to volunteer helps pick up that slack. So I like the fact that you engage volunteers of all ages to work at the library. I think that's really nice.
Thank you. And I do want to mention something real quick is that Leah is being very modest. She has grown that volunteer program, especially for adults, quite a bit. We have on average about 4,000 hours worth of volunteer work done each year at the library. We would not be able to perform at the level we are performing at without those volunteers. Leah did a really good job explaining that we really do try to find something that they're passionate about when it comes to volunteering at the library, because that really impacts the longevity of their volunteerism. But also we try to make it fun. You know, the scale of volunteering at the library ranges from teaching a computer class to scaring kids at Haunted Library. You know, it's really a gambit, but we really couldn't do it without our volunteers. We have a wonderful group of staff members that do many, many hats. We all have to wear several different hats. We're all cross-trained in several different areas, but our volunteers help us reach just a little bit further to doing more activities, especially the activities we do in the Summer Reading Club. There's 7 staff members in Children's Department, so without those 25 interns that we have in the summer, very few books would be shelved, very few things would be done, and I'm so happy we have them because that makes it possible.
So we can make a difference in a child's life and not even have to come into contact with the child. So
absolutely.
For some adults, that's a good day.
Yes.
One of the things businesses are continually evaluating is performance. And so when we're talking about success of a library camp or a library program, talk to me a little bit about how you evaluate the success of those programs. And I think you guys work with a lot of our elementary schools as well. The teachers are contacting you guys as far as, you know, here's some suggested readings, or here's some readings we need these types of students engaged in. How does that look? How do you measure success? How do you identify partnerships? That'll help me be able to have that conversation with a business person.
Sure. So we measure success on, honestly, very different scales. There's a few that we go by metrics, because metrics are important, right? You need to make sure that we're hitting certain milestones. But for us at the library level, it's really as simple as making sure we're connecting kids with books that they like to read. So when kids come into the library and they say, hey, I want Barbie books, we completely reorganized our children's department several several years ago to make books that are picture book level, so really the second grade and lower, different categories instead of Dewey Decimal. So we got rid of Dewey Decimal for our easy reader books. And it was a huge deal. It was a huge change up, but we made everything in categories. So all the Christmas books are together, all the Barbie books are together, all the car books are together, because our users, the kids that were coming in asking for those materials, are not coming in and saying, hey, I need Dewey Decimal book number blah, 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 blah. Okay. They're like, I want all the car books. I want all the, you know, Barbie books. But they were done by different authors. They were done by different subjects. And so they weren't always in the same area. You'd have to go on this wild goose hunt trying to find those materials. So for us, we made sure that we curated our collection to the users of that collection. And as a result of that, we saw circulation in Easy Readers grow over 100%. It was a substantial growth. But we also really try hard to measure out, you know, certain milestones. We count how many kids that we have register for Summer Reading Club. At the highest, and this is pre-COVID, we were a little over 2,000. And right now we've been kind of hovering around 1,500. We're already at its May 29th. We are halfway to 1,500 right now. And so our goal is to exceed that number, even if it's by one, 1,501, by the end of July when we finish Summer Reading Club.
I'm sure you're going to do that, Jennifer, because we sent out our bi-monthly email and we featured the library. So employers, employees, parents, grandparents would know how to engage with you guys. So I'm sure you're going to well exceed that.
Absolutely. And as soon as you sent out that email, we saw a huge rush.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
But yes, so we measure by the number of people that register. We have over 8,000 people that attend our programs all summer long. So last year it was over 8,000. We love to hit that number 10,000. So every year we're trying to find ways to grow and exceed the numbers from before. Another thing that we get to do through Beanstack, which is a wonderful platform that we have, is they count the number of minutes that kids are reading based on the requirements we have for Summer Reading Club. And when they come in and redeem a prize through Beanstack, Beanstack has calculated, okay, they read the 15 minutes that they needed to, because research shows children 6 to 12, if they're reading just even 15 minutes a day, that's helping them keep at their reading level. So that's something that we really try to attain as much as possible. With little kids, we try to get it to where parents are reading to them, hopefully every night. I know that's not ideal. I would be lying if I said I read to my child every single night, but we try to find a book that we love, a chapter book, and we go through a couple of chapters each night, and at least 15 minutes, that means I know that she's retaining the information she needs to be successful in that next school year. With teenagers, we make sure that they read about 120 minutes a day. So that's a little bit, 120 minutes a week. And that's a little bit more, but it still gives them a chance to, you know, engage. And that doesn't have to necessarily just be a chapter book. At that level, they're reading newspapers, they're reading articles, they're reading journals. And so I think that's really important, is we want to find you materials that are going to set you up for success, that you want to read and not just what is required to read, especially in the summer, because all year long you've been reading what you've been told to read. So it's nice to read something for fun. We're really grateful that we have several partners that we work with on Summer Reading Club. And again, just like with our volunteers, we could not do Summer Reading Club without our partners. Some of those partners include Buckner Family Services and honestly, the school districts. The school districts reach out to us and ask us for our calendars of events and our information on signing up for Summer Reading Club. We're happy to partner with them on that, especially Longview ISD and Pine Tree ISD. We have a wonderful partnership with Pine Tree ISD where we get to use their auditorium for free. Thank you so much. Shout out to Lee Branson at Pine Tree ISD and the Fine Arts Department. We have a wonderful partnership with them where we get to use their auditorium for free for the performer days. You know, we talked a bit about the the metrics that we need to see is the attendance for these activities. They've grown so much. We used to have all of our programming at the library. That is not possible anymore. As much as we would love to, we would have to build a much bigger library tomorrow to make that happen. So for some of our events, we do have at the library, but we partner with Pine Tree ISD to do those performances on Wednesday because they can accommodate over 1,000 people. Wow. And we can fill that auditorium up quite a bit, especially on those days where we have animals and magicians, you know, there to do programs. We also had to do story time out of the library as well, which is a wonderful thing. Story time is a wonderful program where we are reading to them and we make it theatrical and fun and we sing songs with them. But our main meeting space in the library, the Moschel Room, it is a max of 125 people, and we were maxing out of that space. So now we do story time at the Longview Exhibit Center, Center Hall. And shout out to Gay Bennett for letting us use that space for free as well for story time. And it's a really great thing that we have these wonderful partners. I do want to especially mention Buckner Family and Services, because they reached out to me over 10 years ago. We were working together on a community partnership called Family Bridge, where they are trying to bridge the gap for many families that are in poverty and having to struggle with several basic necessities. And through there, we formed a partnership with Buckner Family Services. They were talking to us about, hey, we would love to do some kind of reading program for our families that are in our organization. They help families with children in the household as earlier than 5 years old, before they get to school level, to be stronger parents, to be engaged, to help them with, you know, some preschool learning, which is reading to their kids. This is foundational for kids that are starting school and at the kindergarten level, who may not have interacted, you know, in pre-K or daycare with other kids, you know, to having a good step foot forward into the school system by having some basic knowledge of reading and that support system at home to help them, you know, develop a love for reading and learning. So they really help cultivate that with their families, which is wonderful. And so they said to us years ago, you know, we want to create a summer reading club for our families, but you're doing so good at it as it is. Why don't we just partner with you guys? And we're like, absolutely. We're here for everybody, regardless of their being a part of a program or just a family at home who wants to get out and do a little bit more in the summer. So we love our partnership with Buckner, and we look forward to many more partnerships. We've grown over the years with several others. In fact, this year, our newest partnership has been with Jaggers. They've come and they brought us a lot of coupons and a lot of incentives for kids to give out as part of our summer reading club. So I mentioned some of those prizes being as much as candy or a free Chick-fil-A meal or a free meal at Jaggers or even with Texas Roadhouse.
So I'm glad you brought up Jaggers and Chick-fil-A, because let's say Barksdale Federal Credit Union, they believe in Longview Reads, they believe in kids, and financial literacy is literacy. So let's say they wanted to partner, would they just call you directly, Jennifer, or I could provide your email address and you guys could have a conversation of how can the library be part of the solution package for Barksdale?
Absolutely. I would love to work with Barksdale any day. Please give me all your money. No, I'm just kidding. No, we would love to work with them. That is a really good point that you mentioned, financial literacy. That's something that we partner with several financial institutions on a yearly basis to offer from the teenage level to the adult level. So we'll have financial literacy courses throughout the year that are scheduled. And that is one of the ways that we partner with the community to help provide a service. So they come in and they teach the course based on what they have available through their resources. So we've done this through Junior Achievement and several other organizations. I think even Austin Bank has come and done it. So if that's something that they're interested in, we would love to partner with them on that. But also, I think that's really a good point that you mentioned, what would make sense for them. We always want anyone who sponsors to give what makes sense to them, incentive wise, whether that's monetary or, you know, coupons or just offering an extra set of hands during our kickoff party, which is really busy and can get a little wild and crazy. I'm speaking for the staff part, you know, like we're wild and crazy. Yes, absolutely. We would love to partner with anyone and everyone who wants to partner with us. And that's really the foundation of libraries. We are embedded in the community to offer the community what they need, but we also want to hear from the community constantly what they need, because it doesn't really make sense for us to have books in our collection that we want to read. We're going to read those books anyways. We want to make sure that they're books that the community wants to read. We want to make sure they're programs that are going to benefit our community too.
Nice. Win-win. So final thoughts. Do you have future goals? What are your dreams, your aspirations for the library?
So that's always a good question. I get that question a lot, and I always say world domination.
Not only the destination of Longview, but world domination.
World domination, absolutely. I think we have some really exciting prospects in the future. One of the things being, we've been working with the city department community destinations and the city's IT department, IS, Information Services, to offer more Wi-Fi throughout the downtown area, and that Wi-Fi would be authenticated through your library card. It would be free. You just need a library card to authenticate, so that's something that we're working on in the future, because I think that's really important to have access to free and reliable internet, because that is how our whole world is functioning now. Last night, our router went down at the house, and my husband's like, what do we do? And I'm like, I don't know. So internet is definitely everything when it comes to functioning in the society now. So making sure that we have digital access and physical access for materials. I get this question a lot too, as a final thought, is, are books going away? And the answer is no. We have found, back in 2007, when the invention of the Kindle came out, and everyone's, oh, wow, this is amazing. This is the end of the print book. Everyone's going to read their books online. And what we have found from ages as young as 2 to ages as old as 98 is that people are hybrid readers. They really love to have access, ease of access online, but they also really love to hold a book, and they get very nostalgic and sentimental about it and say, I love to hold the book. I love to smell the book. I don't always recommend smelling books at the library, definitely there's a wonderfulness to a crisp brand new book and the smell of that. Books are always going to be around, and people are always going to be interested in reading them. But I also think it's really important for people to know that we're here not just to encourage you to read, but to encourage you to read and learn about things you're passionate about, things that you're interested in. And that's where you find the success with kids that lead to lifelong learning into their adult years, is getting them connected with those materials. So for my daughter, it was kiddie books. She loves kiddie books. She can read a million kiddie books. So I bring home probably an absurd amount of kiddie books every week, but that's what she reads, and she reads a lot of it. And I want maybe dog books. And she's like, no, kitty books. And so, whatever they want to read, really try to cultivate that and get them passionate. One thing that used to be a little bit taboo in libraries, and we talk about it a little bit more, is kids would come in and say, where are the comic books? And parents are like, no, you need to read chapter books. They have found studies that show that comic books really help, especially with reading comprehension and kids who are behind a grade level. So reading comprehension through the pictures of the comic books and connecting those pictures to the words in the books really help kids who are developmentally behind as far as reading goes. So encourage those comic books, because they're not just books, like video games. It's still reading. It still counts. And when they can use those context clues in the pictures to connect to the words and learn those words easier, that's a win.
That is a win. Well, I want to say thank you, Leah. Thank you, Jennifer. And thank you to the City of Longview for being part of the solution for Longview, because reading is a part of every person's life, and when someone can't read, they feel left out, they feel left behind, they feel less than, and parents need to read to their kids So we need all ages engaged at our library. So thank you very much for what you do and being part of the solution package, if not the key to the solution package.
Well, thank you so much for letting us have a platform to talk about this, because it's something, honestly, we could talk about all day.
Yes. About. I'm full of questions now. We may have to do a part two.
Oh, man. We could do a very interesting part two for sure. We're really happy to be able to talk about this with as many people who will listen to us. I always tell the staff the number one most important thing we could do all week is do a school or a person tour of the library. So if there's ever a time that you come in and you're like, I don't know where things are, let us know. We're happy to show you. We want you to feel at home at our library. We want you to feel like you're accepted and the things that you want to learn are available to you there. And Leah talked a little bit about this earlier through interlibrary loan. But I always like to say interlibrary loan is a way for us to say, if we don't have the book, we will get it for you. We have so many means to make sure that you have the materials you want in your hand.
So if there's a book that we don't have but another library has, we can borrow it for free. You just got to put in a request either in person, over the phone, email, or an online form on our website. Also, there's patron requests that you can do for us to purchase the book. So if we have the means to do that, we will also purchase the book for you. And you mentioned, you know, getting parents involved and stuff. We also have an adult summer reading club. So if you're reading to your child and they're registered for, you know, summer reading club, you can also register yourself for the adult summer reading club. That reading will count towards that. Every 60 minutes read gets you entered for a chance to win a weekly prize. We do a weekly raffle. So the more you read, the more chances you have to win a prize. So it's not just for the kids.
It's for the adults too.
Yes.
And Leah, you do fun activities for adults as well. So yes. They get to get into the fun and participate also.
Yes, we have many fun different things we do throughout the summer, usually on the weekend, on Saturdays, sometimes during the week, but anything from silent library, doing arts and crafts, bingo's a big one. We're going to try something new this year called a puzzle party. So everyone's going to have like the same puzzle, and whichever team finishes first gets to be the grand winner. So we have a lot of fun programs for adults to attend as well. So, you know, you don't have to think, oh, only the kids are getting to do the fun stuff. But no, the adults will be, the parents get to be a part of it as well.
That's great. So as I said, you are the solution. So thank you very much. A huge shout out to Barksdale Family Credit Union for bringing Longview Reads live to you. Until next time, this is Kelly Hall.